Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo broadcasting from the Pacific Northwest, where we think Mother Nature has really had a major hiccup because we've got temperatures of over 100. But we're going to be able to handle that heat wave, perhaps with a little bit of music and a little bit of what I feel with the guests that we have today, inspiration and awareness of how dance can make such a difference in our lives. I want to welcome to the airwaves, A.B. Scriver, and she has this delightful nickname of Kita. Kita, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Donna.
It's a pleasure having you, and your story is, as an individual, was just absolutely intriguing to me, and I would love for you to share how you got involved with music and dance and what it was that made you have such a passion for this that you have produced videos, you've done audios, you've got this new book called Creative Moments in Symmetry. How did this all start about?
Well, actually, as a child, my earliest memories are of music, because as a Sunday observance, my father would play music all day long. And no matter what we did, if we were playing or hopscotching or we had guests or whatever, there was music all day on the Sundays that we were home. One Sunday we stayed home and one Sunday we went to visit people or went to tourist attractions or whatever. But at any rate, all through my life, I have really enjoyed music. But it was never anything very monumental as far as I'm going to be doing music one day, I'm going to be doing dance. No, nothing like that. Anyway, when I was a high school teacher, and I taught all the grades, fate had it in me that I should teach everything, from Head Start through college, but 18 years were at the high school level. At any rate, when I was a high school teacher for 18 years, I did a lot of music with my students, a lot of culture, a lot of, painting, everything, the classic movies and so forth. And so music has always been a great part of my life. When I lost my eyesight in 1991, I turned to music. It was just a very natural thing for me to do. And so I started with the music of Linda Ronstadt, and I started tapping with my finger, seeing if maybe I could translate some of her music from one language to another or whatever. And lo and behold, pretty soon I was standing, and I was moving, and I was swaying, and I was just flying with all kinds of creative movements. And so that's how it started.
Well, let's back up a little bit with what you just said. You were a high school teacher.
Yes.
And here you've been involved with art and music and teaching all kinds of subjects. You were sort of
And my subject was English.
But a lot of your publications you have also put into Spanish.
So yes, I'm completely bilingual.
But yes, which is absolutely marvelous.
And I've written two books of English grammar and one book of Spanish grammar. So I feel I know the material well.
Now, how is it that you lost your eyesight in 1991?
Well, it was an allergic reaction that I don't even want to go into because it's just so painful for me. And all I know is that I was just falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
It was everything.
Amazing.
I just couldn't breathe. I couldn't drink liquids. I was losing weight like crazy. The list was endless. And so what I said, in fact, I went to any number of specialists, a heart specialist. Well, maybe it's my heart. An enterologist, intestinal doctors, on and on and on. And they said, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. And so finally, one day I was having such a panic attack, I went to one of the local hospitals, and they did testing from A to Z. They tested me on everything, and there was nothing wrong with me. In fact, they didn't even prescribe medications because they said there's nothing wrong with you. But I knew that there was something wrong with me, and at that point, I said, I'm going to take care of myself. And so I became very involved with alternative medicine and exercises.
Well, I think your story is just absolutely phenomenal. And, of course, like I said, I've got
that's what everybody says.
Creative movements in symmetry. Now, for you to come out of this, obviously, you were dealing with an allergy. And, by the way, you're not the first person that I've heard of that has either lost their hearing, you know, because of medication or their vision.
So in fact, had I not taken matters into my own hands, I would have probably been a cripple. And that's why movement was so important to me. And I loved music, so I was having fun. And at the same time, I was accomplishing something that would be very useful for me. I would not be sitting in a chair just stashed away in a corner. In fact, somebody recommended, well, why don't you go to one of these places where they take care of people who are in problems with physical disabilities and such. And I said, no way.
Good for you. See, I just think you're marvelous inspiration. Now, I want my listeners to know, though you went blind in 1991, from 1993 until 2003, in 10 years, you completed and published 14 books, produced 28 videos, aired over public access television.
And those are historically accurate things. Those are history and culture of the Southwest and of Tucson in general.
And then two dance videos produced outside of public access.
Right.
You wrote
and a two-hour documentary that is totally accurate and totally based on the activities of one church here in Tucson.
And then you also did a 280-page novel, four plays in Spanish, and you've got...
No, wait, three plays in Spanish.
Three
plays in Spanish and seven screenplays that have not been published.
My goodness.
In fact, when I train myself to write without seeing what I write, the music, this particular dance system that I created, it's an exercise and dance system, was training my memory because since it's symmetrical, what you do on the right, you do on the left. So you have to keep very, very focused. And I didn't realize it was training me to the degree where when I sat down, at the phone or somebody gave me a telephone number, I was memorizing it. And so then I trained myself to write without seeing what I write. Nobody trained me for that. And it was just so difficult. It took me a while. And, when I did master that, I was writing four books at the same time.
Amazing. Absolutely.
So
amazing.
What a person can do if he doesn't give up, what a person can do is incredible.
I would say so, and you're a very good demonstration of it. That's why I was interested in having you as a guest on my show. Now, you made some comments about dancing, which I think is so true, and that is the way that the brain interacts with the movement of the body.
Absolutely.
And that with people, if they're in a wheelchair, they can even do some of these movements that will enable them to empower their body to balance. Now, how you know that this assisted you in your own self-education. Let's take someone who, and I've got your videos right here. When I'm watching the videos, I'm observing how you're very, very careful and slow with what you're doing so that people really see and understand what it is you're
doing. And one of the videos has the explanations, even, of the dance steps.
And all of this is... It's wonderful, and like you say, if you make a mistake, who cares? Have a good time. And the
well, if you make a mistake, then you just make the mistake on the other foot, on the other side. So nothing can be a mistake with this kind of creative symmetrical movements. If you goof up on one side, you just goof up on the other side.
Well, and that's good. Then you
and it looks the natural. And who knows?
Nobody
can tell because these are remember creative.
Absolutely. Now, Akita, you were an adopted child, And
no,
you
I
weren't
was
adopted.
You have
both
my parents,
though.
Both my parents are my real parents. If
well,
I'm adopted, I'm unaware of it.
Well, now, who are the foster parents that you talked about in your video?
Oh, you know what? Isn't that interesting? And you're not the first person who has said that. In my story, Dance Story with Latin Rhythms, which is one of the videos, what happens is I tell a story, and I have somebody who traveled throughout South America tell me the different roots and the different scenes and different cultures in those countries. And what I did, I chose music where I could create a dance and integrate that material. And everybody thinks it's my story, and it's just a make-believe story.
Well, then you better change your video.
And in fact, yeah, in fact, people say, well, did you really find your real biological family? And I burst out laughing because, see, they think the story is real.
That's right. That's the way it comes across on the video.
It's a make-believe story that I integrated some what I felt I could create. See, I know when I hear music, I know if I can handle it or not, or if I'm interested in it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I only choose things that I really like. And then the fun begins because I have to problem solve. See, this is what I want to instill in kids in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
They are, for the most part, bored, let's face it. Let's be honest about it. And something that is creative and where they're involved and where they have to solve a problem, and besides that, it involves music and cute costumes and things like that, they're going to eat it up.
Well, I think that's also something that's very important for adults, too, because when you are able to enjoy dance, it really is a great stress reliever, and for kids in school, it's a wonderful way for them to burn off a lot of excess energy. And in your book, Creative Movements, you really are very clear and direct in how you're encouraging people to become interested in music. And if any of you listening to the show today are teachers and you think that this is something that maybe you'd like to share with your students, it brings in her videos have all kinds of music, and music that kids would relate to. And
it's beautifully played, too.
Mm-hmm. And so then they're able to follow her in the motions and the movements, which is what you did with your videos, so that people would be able to do exactly that. And of course,
and there's something else. There's something else involved here that once the kids become aware of what they're doing, it isn't long before they're going to be creating their own little steps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that your statement in your book about the treasury of musical, the types of music that are available, this is wonderful for kids to find out about. Jazz, ragtime, classical, calypso, the South American.
And there's one calypso that I do there.
Mm-hmm.
There's one calypso that I, and it's just great for getting the kids to move and get their, here's one of the things that people forget, but a famous dance teacher once told me, I met several famous dance teachers, and I never even thought too much about it when I met them years and years ago, and in my lifetime, I've met a number of people that you know, were very active in the entertainment world, and one of them said, you cannot have a child, or anyone for that matter, go out there and be graceful on the dance floor if he doesn't have some basics for limbering up. And that's very important. And the other famous, this is a ballet teacher who also worked, and her beginning was in Radio City Music Hall. Mm-hmm. And there she did modern dance, and then later she preferred ballet and went on to be very good at ballet. But she said that the most difficult thing to teach students is what she called count structure, which is beat. She says, if they can't learn that, then you really have a problem on your hands, and they have a problem on their hands. But with my type of easy instruction, I'm pretty good about teaching them beat. The other thing that I tried to do, and I tried very, very hard to do in my book, the part that explains how to perform these dances, even if you don't have the same music that I used, it is just so clear because, after all, a lifetime of writing gave me the wherewithal to explain a dance, the steps, in the simplest of terms so that you'd really have to be retarded not to understand how to do them.
Okay, folks, as she's just told you, if you can't get it, you really got a problem. She feels that just about anybody can do this, and I agree, and I think it's a lot of fun, but that's what dance should be. Dance should be fun, and that's something.
Well, all the people of the world dance, even if they don't have studios, even if they don't have something on the table to eat.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very natural form of body movement.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, and it's very, very important. Now, are you teaching at this time? I know you've got these videos. What are you doing to share with the people that you would like to know? I know we're here are talking on the air, but what activities are you involved with?
Well, let me tell you. My husband passed away last year, and for the last 3 years, his health was declining, and so every time that I would get going on a project to do something extensive, I would have to drop it. And so finally, I just decided about 3 years ago that no, there was just no point. And so I have not been teaching. But now, I feel that I have a commitment, and I want to go to schools. I want to promote this whole idea, not only of music, but of physical exercise for the kids, particularly that some of them are getting pretty hefty. I know, because when I go to the schools and they embrace me, my goodness, they're awfully heavy.
Mm-hmm. And this is true. And so when they have activities like this, our society has become very devoid of the natural activities that children usually engage in. We
mm-hmm.
have changed our way of living so frequently that the kids are often sitting in front of computers more than they are being active and being out and engaged with many
exactly.
of them. So with dance, it can be so much fun. You talk about using props. You talk about costumes. And
oh, absolutely. They have so much fun. And then there would be scenery. There would be background scenery, even if it's just great big pieces of paper that are colored, you know, simple colors, different bright, attractive colors. I know because in one of my videos, that's what the video master did. He said, for some of these dances, the best thing I can do is just put bright color behind you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when he did that, then that created a whole different feel. So when you're really involved with the teaching and with the kids, I don't know if there are any teachers that are listening here, but even for those people, let's say, that are involved with particular civic groups, or for their own physical well-being, dance is mm-hmm. a marvelous way to be
there
able
are so many shut-ins, and there are so many older people that are really quite depressed and lonely and almost numb.
Mm-hmm. And so with something like this, that could be incorporated. I mean, you were talking
mm-hmm.
about being able to integrate with schools, but a lot of the senior citizen centers, a lot of the assisted living facilities.
Oh, I would love that. I would love to
mm-hmm.
be able to do it. And I think now the children are grown and out of the house, and my husband is at peace, and I feel like that I really have this obligation. I feel it as a real commitment to society.
Well, and also it's cross-cultural, which I think is wonderful, because
mm-hmm.
this enables Spanish-speaking groups, whether they're from Mexico, South America, or overseas, it doesn't make any difference.
And the
interesting
thing is that one of the dances, one of my very favorite ones, which I have performed at schools and such, and the kids loved it, it's a very short piece, but it's very, what shall I say, it integrates some of the movements that we did as kids when we were, you know, hopping around and doing fun things, you know, in the alleys or backyards where we played and such. And the music is actually 15th century Baroque. But I was thinking, what in modern times would be appropriate for that kind of movement that I exhibit in that particular dance? And you know what came to my mind? I said, Elvis Presley, Love Me Tender.
Fun. That's a popular piece
yes.
with a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
Popular piece with a lot of people.
Well, yes. And they can choose their own music. Actually, they don't have to necessarily use mine because mine is from all over the world. It's not just Spanish music. In fact, there's quite a bit of South American music, quite a bit of music from the Caribbean, but also quite a bit of music from Europe. And the United States and France, and it's just quite an international potpourri there.
Well, you have the salsa that you do, and then there's the one that you call Seville, and then
the
scarf.
Mm-hmm. That one is fun. It is exquisite fun, and that music is absolutely breathtaking. There is so much life to it, and I use a scarf. I use a red scarf, and I just pass it from one hand to the other. My whole body is moving. Sometimes they don't show all of the entire body because they want to focus on some of the easier movements that everybody can do. And that one is a fun, fun, fun thing.
Well, scarves are very commonly used with belly dancing and also
mm-hmm.
in Greek dancing.
Yes,
there's
yes,
a utilization
uh-huh.
of the scarf. And that creates a dexterity with the arms and a flow that can be
And
just
see, that is what gives you the lung power. If you are ill, the first thing that you have to try to save is lungs. They say that your heart can take quite a bit. And your stomach can take the most, but the one organ that cannot take very much will really kill you fast is the lungs. And that's true.
Now, here you
are. So when you do these movements that I created, notice that there's a lot of emphasis, and that's for two reasons. One is to develop your upper body. And for the girls that are very flat-chested, that will help them to develop their shoulders, their upper body, their boobs, and also strengthen their lungs. And when they're moving their fingers, the way that I move the fingers in the movements, that is what gives you the brain training. Because the movements of the fingers are very related. See, the fingers go to everything in your body, every nerve, every part of your body. The fingers and the feet, that's why with reflexologists, they know exactly what points to touch on the feet. The hands are the same thing as the feet.
You do also, and this again takes a great deal of dexterity, your two-hat dance, where you have a bowler on each hand, and
uh-huh.
you're twirling them in different uh-huh. directions, and your movement is going along with these two hats. That could
uh-huh.
be quite a challenge. That is something
yes,
that would be a lot of fun
and any
for kids
kid,
to do.
I'm telling you, any kid will be able to do that in a matter of a few minutes. Now, that one does show my feet movement. You can see the little, what do they call them, little half boots,
mm-hmm.
little black half boots, and my feet are moving. See, in a lot of these dances, you only see the top part because I want people, that's where I want them to start. So they can develop that balance and that the strong upper body, which will give them balance and to develop their lungs. And and so sometimes the feet movements are not shown as much, but in this one they are. And even though from afar, if you only see the hats moving, you think my feet aren't moving, but in all of the dances that I do, my feet are constantly moving.
You love costumes, and there was one costume that you had that made you look like a washerwoman. You have a bandana around your head
uh-huh.
and a shirt and a skirt, and then these two, looks like two wash rags that are in your hand, and you're going from side to side, and
uh-huh.
and it's just as cute as it can be. Costumes
uh-huh.
are something, and you said go to thrift stores for costumes.
Oh, yes.
I think that's
uh-huh.
a great idea.
Yes, it is. And you know, let me tell you a little something about that particular dance. Do you know that it is one of the best-known Cuban songs? Anybody in the Hispanic world, if they hear that music, they know immediately that is Mama Inez.
Mama Inez.
Mama Inez. But the people from the Caribbean, they don't say Mama Inez. They say Mama Inez. Because in, for instance, in Puerto Rico and I think in many parts of the Caribbean, they change the endings of the words so that, the R, the final R is changed to an L. And the EZ is changed to an EH. And so they'll say, oh, you're playing Mama Inez. And that's fine. And it is, and that music there is the original recorded music of that song when it came out in Cuba.
Kita, music is such a passion for you, and you absolutely love teaching and being involved. And as you said, now that your husband has passed away, you are in a position to be free to be able to go about and to integrate into schools and retirement centers, etc. Do you have a website that people can go to?
You know, I'm just at the point of creating one because there was no point prior to this. I wouldn't have been able to answer anyway. But now I can. I do not have a website. What they can do, you can give them my P.O. box, or if you want, I can give it to them right now.
Sure, you can do that.
It's A period V period Scrivener, S-C-R-I. V as in Victor, N-E-R, P.O. Box 86354, Tucson, Arizona, 85754.
Okay, now your voice cut out there for just a moment, so repeat that address again, the P.O. Box.
Okay, P.O. Box 86354, Tucson, Arizona, 85754.
Now, Kita, with what you have accomplished, do you think, what would you say to someone that might be interested in developing a program of their own? You have worked very diligently to do all of these books, these audios, these videos. What would you say to someone that wants to do a program, let's say to share with children themselves? What steps would you recommend that they follow?
Well, first of all, it must be very clear in their minds what their own goals are, how they plan to accomplish them, and be very prepared, personally prepared. And then I think they have to start making contact with the organizations or the institutions that would be receptive to that plan.
And then go for it.
And go for it.
And really go for it, because just as you were able to make it with your public access television stations in your area, so those that maybe want to do their own special kinds of programs, they can.
And then
the
people
same.
Start inviting you to the regular channel stations.
Mm-hmm. And
for
it just,
interviews
it can just
and
snowball.
What have you.
Absolutely. Well, you have done so much, and you are continuing to grow and expand with this. Where do you see yourself going? After all of these publications that you have achieved, what is next on your list?
Well, I want to continue writing, and I enjoy both the fiction and the nonfiction, so I want to continue writing. And then I want to do considerable promotion of this creative movements and symmetry. So there's plenty right there without even attempting anything different or anything new.
I would agree. The only suggestion I would make is that next time with your fictitious story, put on there fiction. This is not really. So that people don't ask you the same thing I did about your foster parents.
Well, there you are. It sounded so realistic. Everybody says, oh, my goodness, what a sad story, but it had a happy ending.
Oh, my.
I'm glad you found your family.
So, anyway, my guest today has been A.V. Scribner, and her nickname is Kita. She's a delightful lady, and she is blind. She lost her vision in 1991, but that hasn't stopped her. and hasn't prevented her from accomplishing a lot of things. She can be an inspiration for any of us. She does not have a website, but if you're a teacher, if you'd like to find out about her programs, if you have anything to do with assisted living, etc., get in touch with her. Her P.O. box is 86354. Eventually, she will have her website. But that's Post Office Box 86354, Tucson, Arizona, 85754. Keita, it's been a delight. I wish you nothing but the best, and you are definitely an inspiration to anyone, showing that one life may not treat you fairly, but it's what you do with what you have, and you just stepped up to the mark and said, I've got a lot more to give and a lot more to do. Congratulations. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. We're going to be coming back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. Good things to share. We'll be right back.
Hip, hip, huzzah! My lords and ladies, come one, come all, to the 11th Annual Washington Renaissance Fair at Maris Farms in Buckley, Washington, during the first three weekends in August, beginning August 1st. Bring family and friends to become part of the excitement, cheering for your favorite knight as he jousts for noble causes. Gain an audience with Her Majesty the Queen as she knights young lords and ladies, or enjoy a tankard of ale and a turkey leg experiencing the wonders of the Renaissance.
Live the legend!
Gates open 10 o'clock.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. Four out of the last eight Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. And find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, telephone lines are open. If you'd like to give me a call, this is the toll-free number to dial in to 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And if you have not yet called in to the show and you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, all you need to do, when you call in, I'd love to know your first name or your initial and, of course, where you're calling from in the world or in the country. And then after that, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask a question about anything that may be significant to you at the moment. It's that simple. It's a lot of fun, and it's not painful at all. I always have to chuckle when people say, gee, I don't know, I'm a little scared, I wouldn't want to do this. The whole world might be listening in. Trust me, the whole world isn't listening in, and who cares anyway? I mean, it's just one of those things. Have fun, relax, just see what happens. The use of the mind as a tool is a wonderful resource. And remember, you have the choice about the decisions in your life, so I'm an information resource, and I'm delighted to share these skills with you. So again, 888-815-9756 if you want to call in and chat with me. Well, today I was out at the site for the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. You've been hearing me talking about it for weeks. The event is going to be, the first weekend is coming up this Saturday and Sunday, and it will be going for the next, well, the first three weekends in August. And I'm telling you, it is just absolutely amazing. You're going to have this tremendous, wonderful environment in Buckley, Washington. So if you're in the state of Washington and you would like to have a free pass to this event, you're going to find that that opportunity is yours, and all you have to do is get in touch with me ASAP. I've got a few tickets left, and I would just be delighted to gift you one of them so you and your family can come out to this fabulous event. So if you'd like to get a free pass to the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, call me at 800-872-8852. And the reason I'm saying call me is that if you email me with my schedule the way it is in the next few days, I may not be able to get it out to you quickly enough. So call me at my office, 800-872-8852, so I can pop that free ticket in the mail to you. Of course, I will need, obviously, your name and your address. If you should get my voicemail, be sure and leave your telephone number as well so I can call you back and, again, get that free pass off to you right away. What an event this is going to be. Wow, it's so exciting. So when you come into the fair, look for the bright yellow banners with the huge red lions on them. It's going to be visible when you're walking in, and that is where I am going to be, and I'm going to be doing many consultations for people, and I'll have different materials there for you to be able to peruse through. But it's just a wonderful event, and it was so nice meeting people and setting things up and getting ready for this wonderful, wonderful event. It happens once a year, and it is a must-see because you have these people that come in costumes, including yours truly, and it is amazing what you will see there. Everything from sparkling fairies that twinkle when they walk to, gee whiz, critters that you didn't even know could possibly exist, and all of it in the flavor of Renaissance period. It is just delightful. So again, give me a call if you'd like to get that free pass, 888-815-9756. Well, I came across some information, and you may think, Donna, where in the world do you get some of this stuff that you bring up in your show? Well, I get it, some of it from Ripley's Believe It or Not, which is just an incredible array of material to find the unique and the unusual. And it's something I've always loved, and they've got a brand new book coming up pretty soon. But this one was about a headless chicken. Now, this story goes back to 1945, but it really has set a precedent, and nobody has ever been able to do any better. On September the 10th, 1945, a farmer by the name of Lloyd Olson chopped off a 5.5-month-old chicken's head with an axe, and this was getting the chicken ready for dinner. You know, they didn't have the Safeways, the Albertsons, the QFCs. They didn't have these stores around where you just go in and all this stuff is already done for you. Yes, ladies, in the good old days, you were the one that had to take care of that chicken and cut off its head. Well, this headless rooster, and there's a photo that we've got here, the headless rooster continued to stay alive. Hard to believe, but it's true. And this was a farm at Fruita, Colorado. Now, what happened is that Farmer Olson was so amazed at this. Believe me, he had taken care of a lot of chickens before this one, and his name again was Mike. He began feeding him grain and water with an eyedropper. Now, the chicken's head was put in a jar. Part of his brainstem and one ear, somehow or another, remained on the body of the chicken. Don't ask me how, but it did. And since the majority of a chicken's reflex actions are controlled by the brainstem, this chicken was able to function normally, for all intents and purposes. Now, this chicken ended up living an additional 18 months. It went from 2.5 pounds to an 8-pound chicken. And this chicken, without a head, was insured for $10,000, and this chicken, along with Farmer Olson, toured the United States as the Wonder Chicken. And you know what? People paid 25 cents to be able to have a peek at this chicken. Well, as it turned out, he ended up dying 18 months after he was supposed to be on somebody's dinner table. He passed away, because he was unable to use an eyedropper to continue to feed the chicken. The eyedropper somehow had disappeared, and Mike then passed away. But there's photos of him that I have in front of me where he would peck for food and he would preen his feathers just like all of the other chickens on the farm. And the chickens accepted him even though he was a bit different. Mm-hmm. So you just don't know. The strangest things can happen in this world, and Ripley's, believe it or not, can get those facts and figures for you. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, as I've told you, I'm going to be at the Renaissance Fair, so I'm going to be trying to get out my newsletter or a little bit earlier so that I will not miss doing that, because this is a very, very long event, and it's a full day, and there's just so much going on for the entire weekend. And I wanted to let you know that you're going to not only know about the guests that will be coming up, but also the schedule of appearances that are upcoming. So this is something that is always changing, but we may be able to give you some more insights about where I'm going to be in the country, including Alaska, maybe some other places. And all of this is going to be something that you will be able to stay informed about just by getting the newsletter or going into my website and checking out each publication as it comes in when you go in and touch that newsletter tab on the main page of the website. Sometimes life brings us into a level of self-awareness that maybe we have stubbornly ignored. And there usually is a story that someone will be able to share about an event, a situation that changed their minds, and in that sense, it also changed the way that they were living their life. Well, this is what happened with a woman by the name of Christine. She was a heavy, heavy cigarette smoker, and she lived in a tiny cabin that is in Toronto, or near Toronto, Ontario. And she said, oh, nobody had to tell me that smoking was bad for me. I knew that. I already was doing it. But she still huffed and puffed away like crazy. Now, she sincerely wanted to kick the habit. She said, but no matter what I tried, it just wasn't working. Why? Because nicotine is very, very addictive. And you have to deal with this chemistry factor with your body. She said her beloved aunt, whose name was Bernie, got lung cancer. Her aunt had begged Christine for years to give up her cigarettes because her Aunt Bernie knew the price that she had to pay herself. Well, of course, after hearing about her favorite aunt dying, she said, I was determined to stop, and I did for a while. But inevitably, that old habit started up right again. Now, this cabin like Christine lived in had been one of her aunt's favorite places to stay. Now, she had been able to rent it out to some people, and that gave Christine some extra income. And she happened, before this couple were coming in to get the rental for the summer, she wanted to make sure that there was enough propane in the tank, because that's what they used for cooking, to run the fridge and the stove for the weekend that they were going to be there. And she was thinking about her aunt. She was out in the forest and decided that she was going to head back towards the cabin. And while she was doing this, she heard her aunt, as clear as a bell, saying, quit smoking. It's going to kill you. And as she got closer to the cabin, Christine said, my aunt's voice got louder and even more insistent. Quit smoking, it will kill you. Well, you're going to have to wait to hear the rest of the story. And believe me, the ending is a fascinating one. Let's go to our first caller for the day. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, dear. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
I'm Acacia C. I'm calling from Tacoma, Washington.
All right, C, and that's my home area. You're right in my own turf.
Yes.
Oh, that's a good thing. Are you warm like I am?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Now, see, the first thing that I'm looking at with you is the word education. There is a real concern that you have about being able to move forward in a professional way, and I would very strongly encourage you to seek out a counselor that is familiar with various levels of educational processes and do some vocational aptitude testing so that you can find out what your strengths are and then look at those vocational arenas that you will need to get some specialized training in. It will enable you to secure your income the way that you want. Now, see, I have to go on break for a moment. Will you stay on the line?
Okay.
All right, Darren, I'll be right back with you. This is Donna Siebel.
Okay.
We have to take a break. C is going to stay on the line, and if any of you listening would like to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756. C, stay on the line. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, C, are you still with me?
Yes.
All right, dear. Wonderful. Now, let me finish what I was going to say. When I was looking at the educational process, I'm looking at something that could be anywhere, it would be as long as you're willing to invest time in it. It's anywhere from 2 to 4 years. Now, this could be a special vocational school that you would be going to. Maybe you wanted to be a chef, or you would like to be involved in nutrition, or maybe you want to do interior design, you know, or maybe you want to be a welder. I mean, there's 10 gazillion different things that you could do. But this is an area of specialized education, and that is going to ensure you having an income that is going to enable you to have the financial independence that you want so very, very much. What question would you like to ask me today?
I'd like to ask you about question the love life.
Well, you have had some problems, big problems with some relationships, and I would say if I could encourage you to do something, that would be go forward with your education. You're always going to have someone that might want to be a bed partner with you. That's fine. But it's not the quality of person that I think you really want to have as a mate. So I'm not concerned about you attracting men. You will be able to attract men. That's not going to be the issue. The issue is, what is the quality of person that you want to have in your environment? And you need to think carefully about what is most important to you. And money has a great deal of significance to you, and it's important for you to understand that when you can stand on your own 2 feet financially, then you're going to be expecting some different aspects from the men that come into your life than you are at this time. So I want you to be patient. I don't feel you're ready for marriage. And I think before jumping into some other relationship, I'd make an investment in you, in your own education. And then that the rest of the other things will fall into place for you. But take care of number one first. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. I have a question. What did you say? What type of partner I have? I didn't hear the description.
I said the type of partner that you will want to attract to yourself is going to be of a different character than what you are attracting at this time. There's no lack of men that would want to keep company with you. The key is, what are those qualities that you want in a mate? And I think you'll have a better understanding of the qualities that you want when you invest in yourself, in your own education. Because that will give you a level of self-esteem and personal purpose and independence. You're just not going to put up with anything that isn't what is going to be the best for you, for your family, for your environment. So invest in yourself first. The love stuff, that's going to happen naturally. Don't try to force it and don't worry about it. You're not going to be a spinster living on an island in Antarctica when you're 105. That's not going to be the case. But if you're not careful, you're going to get involved with someone that you will be under the control of. And somebody may say, oh, isn't this wonderful? He'll be jealous, all of this kind of stuff. And you're going to say to yourself, this isn't fun. Don't worry about it, and don't think that someone being jealous is a compliment to you. It is not. People that have a jealous personality really have serious problems. And it often can end up in a very abusive patterning. You don't want to look at that as something that's complimentary. You want a man who's going to be able to have you stand by his side where you'd be considered his equal in the sense of being a friend, being a lover, being a confidant, being someone that you want to be in the company of because you're happy with each other and you sincerely care for each other. Thank you, C, for calling in. By the way, if you'd like to get a free pass to the Renaissance Fair out there in Buckley, give me a call at my office because I have free passes for families.
Okay. So I can call your office?
Yes, and that number is 800-872-8852. And then I'll be happy to send out, you need to leave your name and phone number, and then I'll be happy to send the ticket out to you.
Can I get the number one more time, please?
Sure. 800-872. Hello?
Hello? Yes?
Okay, it's 800-872-8852.
What was the last number?
8852.
Okay.
All right, my dear. Have a good day.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. Keep cool. It's hot out there. Bye-bye. This is Donna Siebel. I wanted to share the rest of the story that Christine had about her aunt talking to her when she's walking back to a cabin in the middle of wooded area. And her aunt is saying in her ear, just as clearly as I'm speaking to you, quit smoking. It'll kill you. Now, she couldn't ignore it. This voice was so loud and so clear. She said, I absolutely froze where I was, couldn't move another step, dropped the cigarette to the ground, smothered it with my shoe, and said out loud, nobody's around, she's talking to the trees, she says, okay, Auntie, I put it out. See? Well, she walked on down the path, and the urge for her to light up just kept coming up again and again, but she resisted it. Then she got to the cabin. She opened up the cabin door, and she almost passed out. Why? Because of the smell. It was unmistakable. They were propane fumes. She said they were so thick inside the cabin, the air was shimmering. So she ran around the back of the cabin, found the problem. And what she discovered is that the people that had stayed in the cabin previously had forgotten to turn off the propane tank before they left. And this cabin had been empty for a week. And during that time, the windows and everything were closed. And so the entire cabin was filled with this propane gas. She became aware that if she had had a cigarette, a lit cigarette, and she had walked towards that cabin, she would have been dead. So her auntie telling her, quit smoking, it'll kill you, was not a joke. She said she was right. My Aunt Bernie was right. Smoking can kill, but it's not going to kill her. She said the next day she started a quit smoking program, and she's never lit up another cigarette since. She said, how could I ignore those strong words spoken to me in a familiar voice I was allowed to hear at just the right moment? Strange? I don't think so. Just because somebody's passed over doesn't mean they don't keep an eye on you and want to help you out when they can. Well, my goodness, time has run out, and tomorrow we're going to be talking about blue collar and proud of it. For those of you looking for work, I'll tell you, Joe LaMacchia is going to have so much to share with us, and he has got a dynamite publication. So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is a great day to be alive. If it's too hot where you are, get sit in some ice cubes. But just be grateful for the fact that you have a life, and you can dance to the music of your own choice. It's up to you. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.